Good afternoon and welcome to Central Coast Voices. I'm your host, Fred Monroe. I'm glad you're with us today. And you may be aware, because hopefully you're a regular listener to the program, that Central Coast Voices is a way to basically bring you credible, valid information and insights from diverse members of our community. And we're delighted you're here. Central Coast Voices addresses how today's choices will affect tomorrow's community and how we can look at the long-term ramifications of changes, adjustments, and new things in our society. And we're really glad to be part of something that's been going on for a long, long time this week. This is the 31st annual, but if I got that right, I believe it's correct, the Central Coast Writers Conference out at Cuesta College. And we're going to talk about basically an exceptional program, an annual event that's coming up this weekend, and discuss how it affects writers, young and old, new and improved or improving, and how they look at their craft. I want to remind you that Central Coast Voices is a project of Action for Healthy Communities, part of the Community Foundation of San Luis Obispo County. And Action for Healthy Communities puts out a report every 3 years, the latest report called Vital Signs, Understanding San Luis Obispo County. It's available in its entirety at actionslo.org. That's a extensive 300-page report that can be downloaded in segments or all of it. There is no charge involved, and you might find it rather interesting and engaging material to take a look at. But let's get on with the topic of the day, and that basically is the Central Coast Writers Conference. I have with me today Terry Bayes, and she is the director of the Central Coast Writers Conference. Boy, that was tough. Sorry about that. Justin Schwarzenberger, and he is with an organization called So Create, and that's SoCreate.it, which is an interesting way to have it listed, but I did discover that Indeed is the way you can find it on the internet. I did not know that a .it would actually come up that way. And also Paul Fahey, and Paul Fahey is a writer who's involved in the conference also. Probably need to start with some idea of what in the world a writer's conference is. So Terry, we're going to jump in with you. Tell me what a writer's conference is and what people have to look forward to.
So the Central Coast Writers Conference is a 3-day event, and it's September 20th, not next weekend.
Oh, that's right. It's okay. It's two days away. Okay, it actually starts tomorrow.
No, it's September 18th and 20th. September. We're in August.
Oh, September.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. You're right. We're in August. Okay.
Please don't tell me it's sooner than it is. I just had a little heart attack.
Yeah, that year is September. Thank you. I feel better because I was afraid we were too late for people to sign up
for it. No, we still have lots of sign-ups
I should look
available.
At a calendar. Okay.
So it's September 18th through 20th. It's hosted at Cuesta College, and it's 3 days of writers' workshops, keynote speeches, private critique sessions, literary dinner, and then the last day is the book and author fair, which we've just added to the conference for the first year this year. So it's basically a time where anybody from a new writer, in that they're thinking about buying a pen, to a novelist who has their books out and is looking for new ways to market their books, to come and do the workshops, hang out with the like authors, find a publisher, find an agent. It's just 3 days of writing. If you're a writer, if you're thinking about writer, it's pretty cool. Paul's been going for what, 17 years?
17.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Well, let's back up, because probably when I looked at your notes that you shared with us about things we needed to know about the conference, one of the key things that you said was that an awful lot of writers believe that you have to already be a proficient, active writer in order to go to this conference, or it won't affect you very well. And now that is indeed not correct.
That is not correct. I mean, now we all write in our everyday life. We write texts, we Twitter, we write emails, and all of these things, the more engaging and the better crafted they are, the better your message will be sent. So even if you're a business writer, you will get a lot out of this.
Okay. Let me remind you folks that this is a call-in program, and even though we're dealing with writers who we would normally expect are rather quiet people, I've spoken with all three of my guests before, and I can assure you they're going to want to talk a lot. So I need to remind you now that this is a call-in program, and you're welcome to be part of the discussion. At 805-781-3875, that's 781-3875. I give you the following encouragement, please, and that is if you want to call in and talk about this topic, please do so as early in the hour as you are comfortable with the topic. We have, every time we do the program, I am surprised at the number of people who are trying to call in and get their information or their questions in the last 5 or 6 minutes of the program, and that's really tough to do. So please, you're welcome to call often, and the old thing about voting, you know, early and often, so call whenever you like, 781-3875. You do not need to be a writer to call the program. So if you would like to know more information about this or get some sense of what it is, that would be the time to do so. So give us a call. Paul.
Yes.
You are a writer.
I am.
Okay. And you've been going to the conference for how many years?
17.
Okay.
And it's been great. I always have a great time. I love going. I look forward to it every year, and I've learned tons of stuff.
What kind of writing do you do?
Well, let's see. Right now I write LGBT gay romance. I write contemporary lesbian fiction, contemporary gay fiction. I've edited nonfiction anthologies. And I jump around a lot. I like to do lots of different things. I still write short stories and I still write flash fiction because I love to write. And,
okay. Yes. What is flash fiction?
Flash fiction, well, it varies, but let me back up a little bit. When I was at Allen Hancock College, I was a learning disability specialist there. One of the things I wanted to do was I wanted to create a journal for writers and artists with disabilities. And I thought, well, I'm writing flash fiction. That's what I'd like it to be. And so we defined it as anywhere from 250 to 750 words. So that's like a page to 2 pages at the most, 2.5 in a journal. And the thing about flash fiction is you get into it very quickly, you develop your characters very fast, you get through the middle real fast, get to the climax, and get out of there.
Okay. So it's shorter than a short story.
Yes. Very short. Very short. Okay. Very short. And you get a great feeling of accomplishment when you finish one. Okay. And it's published.
Okay. Do you ever write anything shorter than that? What comes to mind is, as we know on the Central Coast, the New Times has their 55-word fiction also.
Yes, and can I just do some shameless promo? I won 4 times.
I won once.
Oh, good for you.
Okay.
We'll do that as a different program. Okay.
I've dreamed of entering.
Justin,
I haven't entered yet.
Okay.
You need to. It's fun.
It's so much fun.
I've been reading it since the first day. How about that?
It is so much fun.
It's fascinating.
And I took I think it was a 1,000-word story down to those 55 words.
Wow.
It was the hardest thing I ever did.
Yeah. But you can do that. That's
yeah.
great. You can.
And
it's
it
wonderful.
Was the same story.
Yeah, it is. That's scary.
I think people on a regular basis, people would prefer me to take 1,000 world down to 55 as fast as possible. Yeah. Anyway, I worried about, I know a number of writers, and a lot of writers I know are kind of the, let me go get squirreled away and in a quiet place and leave me alone. And when I'm all done with my writing, I'll let you read it, but otherwise just leave me alone. So it was great to, when we started this conversation, to realize I was talking to writers who like to talk about their craft, which is very good. Let me back up, Paul.
Yeah.
So you've been coming to this conference for many, many years.
Many.
Okay. What if you come back every year? I would assume that you see and hear different things and gain different information every year. So you are a good catalyst for this discussion.
Okay.
That is, what do you get every year that's different or reinforcing that makes this worth your time?
One thing I think is the increasing over the years, the diversity of workshop offerings, and they have really changed. And Terry, you have really done wonders this year, because I never thought as a gay man that I would be doing an introduction to LGBT lit. Very surprised.
Yeah, Paul's one of our instructors.
Okay.
Very surprised and excited, of course. What was your question? I'm 70 years old. 70 years old.
Yeah. Okay, I'm sorry. The question. Yeah. Okay, I'll be real succinct. The question was, why in the world do you keep coming back every year?
Yeah, well, because every year is different, and the neatest thing about it is that it's so up close and personal that you meet top writers. I mean, you could be sitting. I'm sitting next to Terry now, but Terry could be Ann Perry. Terry could be Victoria Zackheim. And you just meet really great writers who you can sit down and talk to them, you know, and about all sorts of things. In fact, that's where I met my mentor, who is Victoria Zackheim, and I drive her insane with my emails, but we are very good friends. So there's that. There's networking. There's the diversity in terms of offerings. And now I'm presenting. Who'd have thunk?
When I asked him to present, I sent him an email, and he said, I think you sent this to the wrong person. I'm like, no, I picked you out. You're perfect.
I was pretty sure it was the wrong person.
Okay. No.
Well, Terry, you've been the director of this program. This is your first year.
This is my first year, yes. I've attended for 14 years, but this is my first year as director.
Well, that's I'm glad you put in the I've been attending for 14 years part, because this is I wanted to know why you became director, or how you became director, or what you see that what you are bringing to the table that may be different or an expansion on what's been done before.
Well, this was my dream job. I've always dreamed of this. And when they first asked me, it was because one of the instructors had been to one of my – I do keynote speeches and teach classes. I teach writing classes at Quest and at Hancock. And she felt that I was – you know, I'm super passionate about getting writers going and getting them going. And she thought that – and I do social media classes too. And so she thought those coupled together would make me a perfect director. But then when I met with Cuesta and said, well, I've been doing special events my whole life, then it was like, wow. So our very first meeting, we found out that Ann Perry wasn't going to be able to be there in person for the keynote. And so I said, well, that's easy. I can Skype her in. And, yeah, because you know, I have a tendency to open my mouth and say things that get me into a lot of trouble. But I was successful. It was 2 weeks of dragging Cuesta, kicking and screaming into the 21st century, but we did push that button, and it was 2:30 in the morning for Miss Perry, and she still did her keynote for an hour and a half. So,
in her pajamas?
No, well, she was in her pajamas from the bottom down.
She looked really elegant.
I know, she did. The very first time we were setting up the shot, I looked behind her, and I said, Ann, what's that behind you? And she goes, rubbish. And I said, can you put the rubbish on the floor? You're on a 30-foot screen. She's like, okay. So, yeah, so that they asked me to come on board. And so I'm doing a lot of different things, which a lot of longtime attendees aren't so comfortable with, because I'm really kind of taking the conference digital. I'm putting a lot of diversity. Like I said, we have LGBT, we have horror, we have dystopian, we have erotica. We have a whole track of just for marketing, new marketing ways, you know, how to turn your book into an app, how to do crowdfunding, how to make money at writing. So I'm really kind of throwing all new. I think I only have one returning
I have to
workshop.
Jump in. You threw it away almost as if it wasn't a key factor, how to make money at writing.
Exactly.
Okay.
I know.
So you can finish your list, but we have to come back and revisit
that. Well, we can come back to that right now. So what I did was I put, because I remember in my years, one of the things was you see these wonderful writers, and everybody has, I think, 9 tracks to choose from during the day. And it's very hard to choose. So what I did was I put the tracks into, this is for beginning writers, this is for advanced writers, this is for master writers, this is for people that want to make money at writing in categories. So if you have no idea why you're going to the conference, you can simply look at the tracks and say, oh, well, that's why I want to go there and take all those classes. Or you can bounce around and take it. But yeah, so a lot of people say their barrier to entry to writing is they can't make money at it. They'd have, you know, that they won't be allowed the time in their family or their life, or they won't allow themselves unless they're actually making a living at it. And there is a very easy ways to make a living at writing. So we have people with teaching you how to do anthologies.
Yeah, threatening ransom notes.
Yeah, that too. That too. But, you know, blogging, if you're a successful blogger, you can make money at that. So we have anthologies. We have freelance writing. So if you go on a vacation, you can query someone and say, well, I'm going to this vacation. Would you like 500 words on what it's like? And you get paid. So that's the writing for money track.
Okay, you kind of glossed over the bringing people kicking and screaming into the 21st century, okay? And we'll get to Justin's stuff
know,
in a little
Justin.
While. Okay, that's okay.
It's all right.
Justin, okay, we're going to have time for you, but you have a twist on this that we want to spend a lot of time focused on.
Well, he's part of the 21st century.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, he's part of the 21st century, okay, but we don't. But I'm afraid if we get into Justin's topic, we'll never get back to writing, so give me a couple of minutes,
no
Justin.
Problem.
We're doing fine. For those of you who may have just tuned in, this is Central Coast Voices. I'm your host, Fred Monroe, today, and we are talking about the Central Coast Writers Conference, which is coming up in September. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
Anyway, and you're welcome to give us a call at 781-3875. That's 805-781-3875. If you didn't notice, this is KCBX Public Radio. You're listening on 90.1 or 89.7 or 91.7 or a number of other great frequencies we have across the Central Coast. And thank you for being part of the program today. We'd encourage your comments or questions. They don't need to be questions. They can be comments, opinions. So please join the conversation if you can. Okay, let's get into the concept of kicking and screaming into the 21st century. Okay, so you have a few writers that come in their backpack or in their blanket, they are carrying a 1917 Royal typewriter or something like that.
Or a stone and an etch.
Chiseling it in.
Chiseling. Okay. Well, I have to profess, I am not a proficient writer. I would never consider myself a writer. I've written some commentary and trade journal material. One of the things I really have discovered, though, over the last 20 years is that having simple things like spell check and the ability to not have to white out things when I type them has made me not a better writer, but a more proficient writer. Mm. So I think that's a factor that comes up for a lot of people.
Exactly.
So are you having resistance to people looking at the 21st century as writers?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. So one of the things that I've done that's different is the whole conference is going to be on an app called the Guidebook, and the Guidebook rests on your phone. And so the cool thing about it is it tells you every class you're in, it has a map of Cuesta, where you're going to go, who's teaching it. It also has a social element
to
it.
You have a bank of battery chargers, though, too?
Yes.
Okay, all right.
Okay. It's Cuesta College, okay. Yes. And I've used this app for many of the events I've done before, and it really makes a richer experience because you know where you're going to go. And then if you happen to be in a class and it's not suiting you, you can look and go to another class. The social element is you can talk to staff and other writers prior to going. You can do all sorts of stuff. It will beep and tell you when it's time to go to your next class. But it's just so because one of the things with the Central Coast Writers Conference is on Friday is our boot camps. And so the boot camp is basically two sets of writers in two different rooms, advanced writers and beginner writers. And instead of the writers moving around, the staff is coming at them kind of quick fire, just giving them information. I have a yoga teacher that's going to come in between and make everybody stand up and stretch, and everybody's going to either hate me or love me for that. I can't wait. But in between those, we have what's called the private critique sessions, and this is what is the gem of this conference, is all of my staff. I have 30 professional writers, screenwriters, Academy Award winners, Emmy Award writers, that you can sit down with for 15 minutes, and they read 2 to 3 pages of your work, and they comment on it. Yeah, okay. And that's part
yeah,
of
yeah. The yeah response
look,
was
look
the startled the startled look. It's like okay, it's yeah.
But I know people that were timid about this and forced them because I took some students with me last year, grown students with okay. me, and forced them to sit down. And all three of them completed a novel this year. That
okay,
15
good.
Minutes with someone who wasn't related to them or in their writing group or a friend at work, a professional writer saying, "You've got this. Keep going," was all it needed for the steam to make it through the whole year. So, you know, all of my staff is very kind. Nobody's going to tell you, you know, go away, you can't write. But, you know, we have Doug Richardson who wrote all of The Bad Boys, and you're going to be able to sit down with a award-winning screenwriter, and he'll tell you what's right, what's wrong, how to go on from there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. I want to back up. Okay,
I gloss over a lot of stuff.
No, it's not that you gloss over a lot of stuff. It's as you're talking about this, my thought is, gee, I'm listening to the program. I'm thinking about going to this thing, and one of my first reactions to this is, okay, I've always wanted to be a writer. But for the last 40 years, I've been a truck driver.
Right.
And I don't know where to start. And, you know, if I go to a conference like this, everybody there is already walking three times as fast as I am.
Absolutely not. Okay.
Okay. So let's back up and talk about that person who might be saying, okay, it's my dream career,
right,
but I've never been able to, you know, it's kind of like those of us who sing in the shower because no one will ever listen to our voice.
Right. Well, okay, so it's a fact. Somebody did a survey, I can't remember who it was, but on their deathbed, hospice.
Okay.
On their deathbed, 98% of people say that the one thing that they wanted to do that they didn't was write a novel. 98% of people.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
So almost everybody wants to write. Everybody has a story. We all have an authentic voice that is ours that needs to be told. Even if you were raised in a family of six kids, if all six kids wrote about the same 10 years, it'd be completely different stories because everybody's voice is very authentic. And one of the most satisfying things that I see happen in people is that when they finally do get these stories out, it makes their life so much richer. I had a gentleman who was 97 years old, took my class, and he says, well, I'm on age 8. I'm like, well, you're going to have to hurry up. And since taking the class, he writes every day now. And I get letters from his grandkids and his kids saying thank you. Because he had all these stories, but nobody gave him permission to write. So what the conference does more than anything else is you're surrounded by everybody who's been there, who's walked in your shoes, and will give you permission to get that story out. We have the whole track of beginning of writers conference is just is just why you should join a writer group, how to put your stories together, just the very elements. The very first day is just the very beginning element. So if you've never written more than a sentence in your life, you will walk out of there going, I can do this, and you have permission now.
Yeah, I think the key word there, I think, you know, for a lot of people may indeed be whether or not you can give yourself permission.
Exactly.
So going to something like this helps people give themselves permission.
Yeah, because half of our staff just does writer's mindset, because we all know how mean our minds are to each other and how much that will stop us from writing. So most of the staff will, I have, I think, 6 or 7 different classes. It's just how to get your brain correct so your hands will work on the page.
And the great thing about the Central Coast Writers Conference is that it's
Justin was worried, by the way, that we weren't going to let him talk. Okay, so
I got some ideas.
No. Okay,
right?
Go ahead. Okay, well, before you get into that, yeah, let's introduce. I think I need an explanation of who you are. Okay,
okay.
And no, because it's
on me.
Well, no, it's great. So Create is basically it's not a web tool, but it's a web-based connection that you have with writers. So let's get that out of the way first, because that's one reason why we kind of waited to let you have the end of the conversation.
Sure.
So what is So Create?
Okay, so Create, we're reimagining screenwriting. We're building a brand new screenwriting experience, one that's based on creativity. So we're looking at their screenwriting software has been around in the industry for many years, right? But it's all word processing based. And we know as writers that writing is a creative process, right? You're telling a story, you're building a world, you're building characters. You shouldn't be confined to just thinking about the format of putting your text out there. So all the software around screenwriting for motion pictures is very rigid, right? And it's not very approachable. So what we're doing is we're trying to provide that approach, provide this whole more focus on creativity, more focus on the process of building your story, and getting anybody, like Terry mentioned, everybody has a story to tell, right? We want to provide the tools in the 21st century to have everybody have that opportunity to share their story and start it, and then guide them into getting that out of them and pulling that out of them. So,
okay, we'll get into some more details.
Sure,
But So Create is you're a local Central Coast based operation. Okay,
we're
so
local.
This is a local organization
startup
doing this. Okay, we can get into more how you got into that too. But we've got a call from Claudia. Claudia, are you there?
Oh yes, I'm
okay.
Here.
Yeah, you're on the radio. So tell me what your
question. Okay. Hi,
yes.
Terry.
Hi, Claudia.
Okay. Oh, this is somebody who, okay, everybody knows Terry. It's good. Go ahead. Okay.
I know. And my question is, I know Terry Baez has written screenplays for Morgan Freeman, and there were rumors for the longest time that he was going to come and make an appearance and maybe make a little speech, and I was wondering if there was any truth to those.
Pressure's on.
Thanks, Claudia.
Okay. Thanks, Claudia. Can you take your answer off the air?
Yes, of course.
Thanks very much. Okay. Alrighty. So your fan club is already asking questions of you, Terry. Okay.
Well, unfortunately, Mr. Freeman had a tragedy in his life this week, so everything's on hold.
Okay.
But you never know. I'm one of those hopeful people. I stood there with my hand over the Skype button that Ann Perry was going to be there all night long, so I don't ever give up. So we'll see.
All right, we'll get back to you and a screenplay then in a little bit. But can I get back to back to Justin for the moment then? Anyway, okay. So Justin, what is So Create specifically offering for writers? That is it working mostly with writers who are trying to transition from the material they've done that's not a screenplay into a screenplay? What is the tool available?
It's more focused towards anybody that wants to start the writing process of writing a screenplay. So, I mean, you could have something that you've already written that you want to transition and start writing as a screenplay. You could have nothing. You could have just an idea. You could have a moment, a scene, a character. The idea is to get you into a tool that can allow you to start bringing that out, get that out of you, right, without any real barrier to entry to that. So extraction of ideas and helping you guide you along that route, whether you're an experienced screenwriter that have done this before or somebody that just has an idea. It's really based towards that. That's what we're trying to focus on, this whole new experience to do that.
Okay. And how did this process evolve for you?
So myself,
becomes a personal discussion.
Right, absolutely, okay. Let's do it. I'm ready. So myself, and this is going to get confusing. Justin Kudo, who's another Justin, right? We both met 20 plus years ago. We were passionate about pursuing a career in screenwriting, and we met during college. We were focused on that. We actually went to Cuesta College, doing a bunch of creative writing classes there. And we had this dream of becoming screenwriters, right, and getting into Hollywood, going down there, continuing education down there at a school there. And we fire up this software to do screenwriting, and we're like, what the heck? Where do you even start, right? We had these grand ideas and ready to put them on the page, and it just became so difficult to just get into that. Now we're playing around with this formatting and this style to just get these words out, and all we really want to do is tell the story and tell about these people and have this dialogue discussion and this action going on, and we couldn't do it. It was a very frustrating experience for us. So we kind of bottled that up, thought about that, thought this needs to be so much better, you know, this needs to be fixed. Went along our careers. We actually both ended up falling into software development, and we did that, and now we're professionally doing that. But we kept this thing in the vault of, man, we got to fix that someday. So now we got to this point where we had all this experience developing software and primarily web-based software, right? So now we got this vision of how can we fix that problem. And that's what we're trying to do today, is take our experience of that, take our passion for writing, and bring it all together as a whole and make this experience something that all these new writers and existing writers can avoid the experience that we had to go through, which was just this whole rigid experience, and bring something new to the table.
Okay. So Justin, the guy with the vision for a great way to be able to be a screenwriter and use your tools, okay. Terry, who's written a screenplay that we'll get to later on. Okay. I'm posing this to both of you because, and by the way, Paul, you can jump in. I didn't know if you've written a screenplay or not too.
I've written a couple.
Okay. Right. All righty. So the key issue with, it's kind of like writing code, I would say. It's writing kind of like writing computer code. Even those of us who are bad writers generally know how to write. We may not be able to write something that's an effective conveying tool of information or a story or our passions or whatever. But if I've looked at the page in a book, I can say, oh, this is how you lay out a page. This is how, you know, you get real analytical. The average paragraph is under four sentences. And you know, so this is what I need to do to keep my reader. Okay. But when you're dealing with a screenplay, unless you've seen a written screenplay, nobody has ever seen a screenplay because they've seen a movie.
Right.
So the average person has absolutely no flippin' idea how to put a screenplay on a piece of paper.
Right.
I've seen a storyboard. I've seen a synopsis. But I would have no idea how to write a screenplay, even though I have written some things that have actually been published. They never should have been published. That's a different issue altogether. But so are we dealing with a different animal when we're dealing with screenplays, or we're just dealing with a lot of writers who don't even know where to begin?
Well, I think a little bit of both. I mean, any kind of writing starts off as visual. We see the story in our heads first, yeah. Right? We see the whole story in our heads, or a scene in our story in it. So, and then we decide whether we want to make it a novel, which would, you know, require lots and lots of words, or if we want to make it visual, which requires a little bit of words, but still the same conveyance to the paper. What Soap Create's doing is so wonderful, and I've dealt with that other software, is, you know, you'll be running along and you have an idea, and it literally takes you from your right brain to your left brain. Mm-hmm. It completely takes you out of that creative thing. So I know when I wrote my first screenplay, I just wrote it in Word with no formatting at all, because I didn't know what I was doing. I had the story, I knew I wanted to do a movie, and I couldn't afford the software back then. So I wrote it in Word and then figured out the formatting later. I sold mine in a format that they wouldn't accept it at all these days. But because the concepts were clear, because the characters were clear, because the theme of what I was writing was very clear. So if you have a clear concept and you have a clear idea, you can learn to write as a novel, or you can learn to write it as a screenwriter, or you can learn to write it as a flash fiction or a poem. All of those things are the same conveyance of ideas. Did I answer that question?
Well, yeah. And I'll get to Justin with this. The average person mm-hmm. who's coming to you, do they already have a rather elaborate full story or story synopsis written before they wanted to consider doing it as a screenplay? Or is someone literally saying, I'm starting at square one and I need the tools to write a screenplay?
So it's really both. What we're trying to do is it's interesting, because the discussion that you just bring up, we actually want to kill that discussion. We want it so that you don't have to think about these
things. You
got to
be in my house. My entire family wants to kill all of my discussions.
not yours per se, right?
No, it's okay. I take no offense at it.
So,
okay.
So we want writers to not even have to think about that part, because it's not about the formatting. Like Terry said, it's about you have an idea and you have a story, and you should be able to just tell that story. And the other things should just fall in line for you. And that's what we want to do. Whether you have a story that you're bringing in, that you're saying, I want to adapt this to a screenplay, or you want to start writing a screenplay, or you don't even know what you want to start writing. Really, it's like you want to write and you want to tell a story, and we want to provide tooling to help you do that and get all that other stuff out of the way. Because this really is – that's the thing. It's like coming in as a writer, you get so intimidated because you're thinking, what format do I got to do? Like you're mentioning, you know, how long are these paragraphs? How long are these things? It's just so inhibitive to the creative process. And it just needs to be something that, like, you just get it out. I mean, you're going to go through so many rough drafts. You're going to do re-edits. You're going to do all this stuff. So it's so important, you know, to just get that out first and stop the barrier of doing that.
Thank you.
Could I answer?
Yeah, Paul, you jump in there. I sort of cut you off before.
No, you didn't. You didn't cut me off, because I don't think I said anything. however,
it was preemptive strike.
No, I think it wasn't. I got to say this real crass. I'm 70 years old, and it's so hard to keep thoughts in my head. One thing that I think is really important is that you learn any new thing from modeling. And I know that when I learned to write flash fiction, I read tons of it. And I also analyzed it. How do they do what they do? Mm-hmm. Just like you would do with Hemingway, and one of his greatest short stories, plug for Hemingway, but he's probably not listening. Hills Like White Elephants, which is all show and not tell, because you're not in anybody's head. So if you want to learn to show and not tell, he's a great one to look at. But if you want to learn to show and not tell, I think scripts are a really good way to learn to write. And by looking at the scripts, there are a lot of them that are available online. You can go to the bookstores and buy them. I have tons of them. And that's how I started, was by looking at them and seeing how they combined their action with their dialogue, what it looked like. And after I completed my first script, I thought, well, it's only 90 pages and it's supposed to be 120. But how about if I turn this into a novella? And I did. I did that with two of them. So you can go back and forth in the forms. And let's say you're not successful in one of them, you can be successful in another one by starting with the models, looking at models. Does that make sense?
It totally makes sense.
I mean, that's exactly how I did it. And how I would teach it if I were teaching it.
Which,
without the software. When I have the software, I'm not teaching.
Everybody's so excited about the software. I had two writers at the luncheon today going, is it ready yet? Is it ready yet? I'm like, no, I don't think so.
Well, this is probably a way off the board question then, okay? Because as you're all explaining the concept of writing a screenplay, you're talking about flash fiction. It occurred to me, because we deal with this a lot in a public radio station, we also deal with singer-songwriters. Do you have people who come to the conference, or have any of you worked with people who are basically saying, you know, I write the epitome of a short story, which is a song,
right.
There's musicians who are great musicians who have told me before, I use a lot of other people's words because I can't write a decent story to go with the song I've written musically. So do you deal with singer-songwriters in the conference also?
Yes, and actually, you know, the way that I look at it, our current songs and songwriting is just poetry put to music.
Okay. Yeah,
so
yeah.
We have two of the best poet teachers that will be there. And I know I don't write poetry. I try, but I'm not and do not do it well at all. But I've taken the poetry classes and learned more from them than anything else, because they use less words than anybody else. So the poet will teach you how to put those words together that have an emotional impact. So, yeah, if you're a singer-songwriter, I would take as many poetry classes as you can.
Okay. And if you want to write short, like flash fiction or 55 fiction, yeah. It would really help too, because they condense everything. You're right. Agree. Yeah.
You know, and to hook back into our earlier conversation, the fact that there's so many avenues to write, right? We talked about, like, how does somebody get in? Where do I make money? That sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about songwriting. We're talking about poetry. There's just so many different avenues. You can blog post, whatever, mm-hmm. opportunities for writers to come in and have a place, a forum to get their words out.
Yeah. This is a conference that's been going, it's 31 years?
Yes, it's
31st year. Do you have a lot of people? I mean, the Central Coast is certainly a vast resource of people, but are there people who come from out of the area? You probably invite people who are presenters from out of the area, but are there writers that come from out of the area?
Yeah, I think besides Paul and Wendelin Van Drunen, everybody is from out of the area. Mm-hmm. Our keynote's flying down from from Seattle, a lot coming up from L.A. We have some come from Arizona, and I'm putting them all in oceanfront rooms because I feel sorry for those people that live in the desert.
How about us, people who live here? Can we have an oceanfront room?
Terry's sending you bus fare.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, right. Thank you.
I'm sorry. If you want a room, you can have a room.
No, I wouldn't do that to you. We need the money for the conference.
Yeah.
Okay. All righty.
So, yeah, the staff is coming from all over the place.
But attendees do, too.
And attendees do, too.
That's where I was going.
Yeah, the attendees do too, because this what we're trying to really make this conference is a destination conference, because who wouldn't want to come and spend 3 days in Pismo?
Yeah.
We have a shuttle that takes you back and forth to Cuesta, and you know this conference is a lot of networking. Like Paul said, you actually meet the writers. You get to have lunch with them, sit down, talk with them, have dinner with them. It's a very, very network heavy type of, and in between their classes, they all kind of just hang around, and so people actually get to meet, like if you went to a class and saw a writer and you're just in love with them, you can actually strike up a conversation. I met Christopher Moore 10 years ago at a conference, and he's a big best-selling author now, and he still answers every email I send him. We're friends because of one weekend at the Central Coast Writers Conference, so it's a good thing.
We may not want to go there, but it's okay. Anyway, let me get back to the topic at hand. Okay, we're talking about the Central Coast Writers Conference, and I've got some wonderful folks here who are involved in that, and you can be part of the discussion too. Give us a call at 781-3875. That's 805-781-3875. If you haven't noticed, this is Public Radio KCBX. This is Central Coast Voices. Glad to be with you today with my guests, and we'll get on with the topic. This is a lively conversation for writers. Actually, Christina, our producer, I said to her, I said, you know, I'm wondering, I've known a lot of writers who don't like to talk very much. She said, oh, no, you won't have that. You won't have to worry about these guys. They're going to be an interesting conversation. Okay, I want to back up to the new writer, okay?
Okay.
The new writer, the fearful writer, the apprehensive writer, the biting their fingernails writer. I'll give you an analogy that some of our listeners will just throw the radio across the room when I do, and that is that I don't sing. OK, Okay, there's a reason why I don't sing. I have actually very good pitch, but I cannot get very much from my mouth to my ears that gets coordinated. I am married to a very good vocalist. She has convinced me not that I should be singing all the time, but that if I would just stop worrying about it and sing more, even though there are people around me who might throw their shoes at me, I should just sing. So I'm sure the same is very true for writers. Okay, and you've in some way you've all kind of breached that subject already. Pardon me, we haven't breached it. We've broached the subject. Okay, it's yeah, already.
It's very action-packed.
So if I'm if I want to go, and my real apprehension is I've never been to a writer's conference, I've never written, and until last week I didn't even own anything with a keyboard or a pencil. So I'm going to take this to an extreme. That person shows up for the first time. What do they first get introduced to there? Because I want to I want to back up a second. That's the kind of person who's going to say, I wouldn't even know what some of the operative words were in the name of some of these workshops, so I don't know where to begin. And I'm afraid, and one of the things I'm afraid of, like I would be as a singer, is I'd like to come here and get lots of information, and I'd like to make sure that no one ever sees my writing so they can point at it and laugh. Okay.
That's funny. So, okay, so Create, one of the things they do is study writers, which I love about this company most. Okay. So one of the things they did is the whole company took my class, but I didn't know that they were just studying me. So I have all these writers in their writing.
Justin's not the whole company, right?
No, okay, okay. No, there's a whole bunch of them back there. Okay. They're all named Justin.
There are some other names.
There are two Justins. Yeah, I wasn't sure which Justin was coming.
So from a writing teacher's point of view, I wasn't sure what I was dealing with because they weren't. But then by about the third class, they all really started writing and then wanting to share their writing and everything else. So what you'll find as a new writer at the Writers Conference is that embracing arm to come on in. It's safe. We understand. We all were first writers in the beginning. The very first class is why to be in a writer's group, which is just telling you you need support. And we have four different writer's group there that are offering their services to help you.
So why you need to be in a writer's group. And I would translate that as a non-writer as to why you need to not be afraid of group therapy. Mm-hmm.
Oh, absolutely. No. Really?
Oh, yeah. Okay, the table's now disagreeing. Okay.
Really?
Okay, all right. Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Oh,
I opened my mouth, Paul. Yeah.
Well, you know. First of all, I'm a solitary writer. I take criticism pretty well. I mean, I worked for years online on a flash fiction listserv, and you know, people didn't like my work, and I didn't like theirs. I mean, we went through all sorts of problems with that. But I don't do real well in writers groups. I don't think writers groups are for everybody. I think they're wonderful if you like them and you enjoy them. I would much prefer to write something and to send it out to a listserv and have 20 people take a look at it and give me suggestions. And then as I go through the comments, if I find five or six that are saying the same thing, then I know, whoa, I got to do something about that. But if I find one or two that say, oh, you suck, we don't like you, then I just go, okay, throw that one away. But I just don't. I don't know. I'm kind of a nervous, anxious, Woody Allen-esque
right,
kind of
so
person.
So this is the first half an hour of the conference. So if you made it through this half an hour, you're fine.
So, okay. I'm going to take you at your word. So, I mean, writers' groups are not for me. I don't think they're for everybody.
So,
swear to God,
In the second half of the first hour, we teach about building characters and plot and getting your emotional story into it. And just I think there's 10 instructors just about the very beginning, how to get your head space right, how to not be afraid. Because Ann Perry has had, 70 bestsellers?
84.
84 bestsellers. And you know what she said to me? I said, how's the new book coming? She goes, oh, nobody will read it. 84 New York Times bestselling list, and she still has the same mindset as a brand new writer.
She sat in a writer's group, and they said, you'll only get 84
no.
books.
No.
And that was a good one.
So if you're afraid of writer's group, you can come at 12:30.
I'm not afraid of them. I don't like them.
So the beginning writer's boot camp is exactly that. It's a very nurturing, comfortable way where everybody can sit in the corner, not say a word, will not get called on. They don't have to write. They can just you know, kind of ease into the conference.
Hide under a chair if they're in
exactly.
need.
Exactly. Okay, okay. We have little caves for them to hide in the
That's
back.
That's a really good idea. That's really good. And a lot of the instructors always are very nurturing, and they're very kind. And, you know, the first thing they do is and say, okay, we're going to free write, and we're going to stand up and read what we just wrote. I mean, when I'm in a class like that, I go, oops, where's the door?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. There's this been recurring theme for me in my head listening to all three of you. And what it is that you're all talking about things like character development, storyline development, and it seems to fall back on what I would classify as fiction. Okay? So here becomes the question I forgot to ask earlier, and that is, what does the conference do for a nonfiction writer, a historical writer, a contemporary commentator writer? Because not everyone is looking to develop a story that's not true. Some people are looking to find a way to convey a story that's been true and not spoken about enough or not shared enough.
Yeah, we have a whole track for nonfiction.
Okay.
So we have Tom Wilmer, who's NPR, will be teaching you how to do travel writing. We have, I think there's 9 different classes that are just for nonfiction.
Someone's doing anthologies, right?
Yes.
And that could be either.
Yeah. So there's a whole track that's just for nonfiction and all of the elements that go into that about how to put your heart in your nonfiction. Because even if it is nonfiction, you still have to tell a story. You mm-hmm. still have to be compelling. So, there is a whole track for nonfiction writers there.
Okay, I'm glad you had that answer because I was a little concerned about where that was going.
No, there's something
not
for everybody here.
Okay.
I worked very hard at getting mm-hmm. something for everybody.
Okay, so this is already a 2-day. Well, it's all day Friday
and all day Saturday.
And all day Saturday.
And then on Sunday is the book and author fair, which used to be sponsored by the Library Association and in the Mission Plaza mm-hmm. in SLO, but they let it go, and it's been dark for 2 years. But when I got the job as a conference, I said, "Well, let's add one more day to it." And so the Book and Author Fair is on Sunday at the Seacrest in Pismo, and that's where you can actually just go up, buy a book, meet the author, have them sign an author. So if you're just a reader, this is the day for you.
Okay. What time is that? 10 to something?
10 to 4.
10 to 4. Okay.
Okay. Who is your keynote speaker this year?
The keynote speaker is Carl. It's a little bit of everything. What I'm doing is,
Carl, a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
Okay. No, he has a last name.
No, okay. Am I saying it right? Iglesias. So Carl Iglesias, who is a very prolific, passionate writer, who's going to write about the power of story and how the story matters. But his opening act, which I think is going to be rather fabulous, is 7 different creators, writers, producers, directors, that will be talking about taking an idea from conception all the way to masterpiece. So we have Jean Perrette, who actually wrote for Phyllis Diller, Bob Hope, Carol Burnett. He's been in TV for almost 60 years, and he's written 22 comedy books. We have Doug Richardson, who's a screenwriter, Peter Dunn, who's a screenwriter. We have Wendolyn Van Drennen, who's written 27 novels, young adult novels, and a few other. We have Rob Edwards, who writes for TV and movies now. He wrote Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, Full House, which everybody is so excited to meet one of the writers of Full House. And then he wrote the movies Treasure Island and The Frog and The Princess. So all of these people are successful, really successful. And what they're going to be talking about is their own process of taking an idea and whether turn it into a novel, a TV show, a book, and how you usher that idea all the way through. Because most of the writing is that people worry about getting it on the page, but getting it on the page is only half of the struggle. So it's about how to keep that idea fresh and new, and I'm very excited about this panel. So if you're even a little bit creative, this is something to come watch, because you're going to hear them tell things that they won't normally tell.
And I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say it's very different from what you'd expect at a keynote, because a keynote is usually one person standing up and talking for an hour. So this is going to be much more interesting to
me. Yeah. It's a little living room set. They won't even know that there's 500 people watching them. And that's Friday night on September 18th.
You're taping them in a separate room and they don't know what's going
no,
on.
No, okay, they're on the stage.
Like the dating game.
Yeah. No, they're all on the stage.
Okay, now we understand that Terry has lied to all the keynote speakers about what they're going to.
They are a little nervous. How's this going to go? I'm like, I'll let you know when I figure it out in my head. But I think I've got it. So, and it's a very dynamic, diverse group. So they're just going to be interesting how they react to each other. So I think all but two of them have never met before.
What's your maximum attendance, or do you have a maximum attendance?
We don't. We have a whole Cuesta College.
Okay.
I'd love to fill it up.
How many people came last year?
I think last year it was 200.
Okay.
I'm shooting for at least 320.
Yeah, and that's a question I ask for because for a lot of people, it's like, oh, if only 40 people are coming, it's not going to be the environment I want. But there are going to be some people saying, oh, 250 or 300 people, I don't know, that's too many scary writers.
But the writers are scary. The classroom size is usually around 30, and some of the bigger ones are 70. So the classrooms are small. We have 50 workshops just on Saturday. So you won't be lost in a crowd. And then the closing is Rob Edwards doing a funny, all the worst writing advice he's ever gotten. I know, I'm really looking forward to
all
that.
All the worst writing. Okay.
Yeah.
Can you consider packaging that and selling it?
Yes.
Because I may not be able to go to the conference, and I may not be a writer that would ever I'd be too afraid to be there. But that's another issue altogether.
But you're doing something else with videos, aren't you? Aren't you videotaping us?
Yeah, we're videotaping a lot of it.
Yeah.
Good, not mine, right?
Not yours.
Oh, thank you. I would just say that's another neurotic nightmare. You know, it's bad enough.
All right. Well, okay. One more thing. Then we've got a couple of minutes left. Paul, let's start with your neurotic or your.
I'm very neurotic.
Okay, your nightmare.
I was born
neurotic. Okay.
Yes.
So you got a couple of minutes. Well, here's what I usually try and end this with, or a program like this, and that is, what do you really want to make sure people know about being a writer and coming to a conference like this that you can share with them? That may be more grounded than Terry, because we realize we've got to kind of peel her off the ceiling.
Well, I guess what I want them to know is that when I started attending the Writers Conference, I really didn't know a heck of a lot about writing. I mean, I had been reading self-help books, and I had been doing some writing, but my publishing and my writing really didn't take off until the Writers Conference. And every year I learned something new that I can apply to it. I still use things that I learned from a wonderful writer named Sarah Backer called the funnel technique, the way you introduce a character. It's amazing. I still do an awful lot of pre-writing and pre-thinking before I actually sit down to write my novellas. And getting to the point where I write a novella has taken me a long time because, you know, I'm short in stature, but I write short. I write short pieces. I write 55 fiction. I write, you know, I just little tiptoe into it. And then I do a 55 fiction, and then I do a flash fiction, and then I do a longer
story. If you were tall,
story.
You'd do, like, multiple volumes.
I do a novel. I write a novel. But, you know, I wrote a doctoral.
Sorry, I didn't mean to judge. I get the concept of because I'm a short person, I write shorter material.
Yeah.
I didn't know. Okay.
But you
I'm
know,
sorry.
It may go hand in hand. But I did write a doctoral dissertation that I use as a doorstop, but I mean, you know, let me tell you. So everything I've learned, I think that I have grown over the years by going to the conference. And I think part of it is because it is so up close and personal. And let me just say this about the mentor, because I really want to let Victoria Zackheim. I know you're not listening to this because I email you too much. You just turned me off. But if you're listening to this, I want you to know how I would never have gotten into writing in the LGBT field if it hadn't been from going to your workshop where she was talking about her best-selling anthology called The Other Woman. And I walked up to her and I said, how about the gay version, The Other Man? And she said, go, take it and run with it. I did. I took it. I ran with it. And I bugged her from here to hell about it, you know, constantly on email. But without that, I never would have made the switch into LGBT and writing about my own life stories.
So. Okay. Justin,
yes.
Can you follow that?
Okay. Yeah. Sure. So, as far as the conference goes,
what you do as part of the conference?
Yeah. Okay.
What
so
you bring to it.
We're sponsoring. We're one of the sponsors of the conference this year. We are very we're writer advocates. We love writers, we put them first. They're our primary focus on what we do. And so we're excited to be able to support something like this in our community, especially at home where we're at. It's a great conference, and the awesome thing about it, it's super approachable. I mean, I would say to everybody out there that if you're a new writer and you're thinking about coming to it, absolutely come to it. I mean, there's just encouragement and there's positivity. And with Terry at the helm, she's very positive and helpful to new writers and existing writers, and that's going to permeate through all these sessions and the whole experience. So get up there, get out there, come be a part of it, and come experience it.
Great. Thank you. Okay, Terry, you sort of get the last word. I get the real last word, but you sort of get the last word.
So that would make me so happy. So the Central Coast Writers Conference is September 18th through 20th.
Yes.
You can register at www.centralcoastwritersconference.com.
I apologize for having the wrong month.
That's okay. No, so that's
say,
all right.
Say the website again. And say
www.centralcoastwritersconference.com.
Okay, we will have that on the KCBX website.
Perfect.
For the program also. And if you don't know, these programs are archived, so people
right.
can listen to the program.
Yeah,
again.
We'll probably put them up on our Facebook. And so one of the things that will stop a lot of writers is money, because how can I spend it's only $199. 3 days of wonderfulness for $199. So we do have, I put in several places that you can get scholarships and win contests to be in there. So every single library in the San Luis Obispo library system has a conference to give away. So if you'd like to go, all you have to do is go and write a little essay, only 500 words, a flash fiction, of why you want to go to the writer's conference, and those will
be
given away.
500 words or less?
Yes.
Okay, 500 words or less.
Or less.
Okay.
We also have scholarships for all teen writers. All teen writers are sponsored by PG&E, so all they have to do is fill out the
That's
application,
wow.
and they can go, and we also have scholarships for teachers, because we want to encourage teachers to teach writing. So if you fall into any of those categories, you can find your way in without having to pay.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. I appreciate that. We have been talking with some wonderful folks from the Central Coast Writers Conference, which is the weekend of September 18th, 19th, and 20th.
Yes.
Okay. And the contact information for that will also end up on the KCBX website, and you can find out more about that there. This has been Central Coast Voices. I'm glad you've been able to join us today. It's a program that we love to put on and share with you. It's a production of Action for Healthy Communities, which is a project of the Community Foundation of San Luis Obispo County. Next week, Chris Kington Barker will be back, and she will be talking with some folks from the Cal Poly Stride program about their community-based obesity prevention and research program and what that's doing for the community, and also what it's doing at Cal Poly. And that'll be an exciting program, and Chris will be back. Yes, we have been a little out of rotation. That's why you got me 2 weeks in a row. Central Coast Voices, again, as I mentioned, is sponsored by Action for Healthy Communities in collaboration with KCBX. I want to specifically thank Joan Gillard-Sargent that this program has been underwritten by, because she's been a real key part of that. And this program is also available to you on the KCBX website, so it can be downloaded or listened to. And input for this program can be shared at Action for Healthy Communities. I'm sorry, that's wrong email address. voices@kcbx.org. Sorry about that. You can also call us at 543-2323. Want to thank the listeners of Public Radio KCBX, because this is not in existence as a program if you're not part of the program too. And thanks to my guests today, Terry Bayes, Justin Schwarzenberger, and Paul Fahey, some fascinating people. You should never think that writers don't like to talk, because I can assure you this has been a great program. And coming up next is my favorite program after mine, and that is This American Life with Ira Glass. Thank you for joining us today. Thank you for joining us on Central Coast Voices.